Last night you got up. Well, a little, but that doesn't bother me. But what got me was you got up to, you know, use the restroom in the middle of the night. And I thought someone had come into our room who wanted that other bed that all my stuff was on.
I saw you starting to get up and wondering, what are you doing?
Well, see, because I heard someone go into the bathroom, and I sat up, and I could hear you breathing in your bed, except for you weren't there, but I thought I heard you there. And I thought, oh, man, that guy's going to want this bed. I got to get my stuff off of it. And then I thought, wait a minute. So that's why I just sat on the bed to see. Now, if you come in and walk over to the bed, I'll take everything off. But if you walk over to your bed, I'll just go back to sleep. Fortunately, you walked to your bed. So. Yeah. So Shane, I'm going to be praying that the Lord will give you men that you can give your life to. You know what's cool is that He'll do that on purpose. And you never know, is it a guy that works next to you? Is it someone down the street from you? Is that someone that you randomly play racquetball with at the gym? Someone that you're leading some Bible study and he's the only one who comes? You know? But God wants to do that, and He wants to do that for all of you. And I pray that you have your spiritual eyes open looking for other men that you can pass on to them the things that have been passed on to you. And you know, you'll do it a little differently from what Shane, you'll do it slightly different than the way Elmo's done it with you. You'll take 95% of the things Elmo's taught you, and some of them you say, I don't know if I want to pass that part on. That's okay. That's okay. We all do that. That's normal. That's normal. Now, if Elmo, it's probably 99.9% of the things you'll pass on. But I know Dean. There's some things Dean's thinking, Mike got this part right, but I don't know about that part. No, that's okay. That's okay. Because I may have changed my mind now anyway about that other part. So, yeah. I pray that He'll give you men and women and families and people that you can invest in. And I prayed often that God would sovereignly put people around navigators that He wants brought into the kingdom and that He wants to learn how to grow and learn how to walk. And I think that's how He wants to use you. Richard Spann, is he? He's not here. Oh, okay. He's taking care of Ben. Or he's busy. Okay. Well, my friend Mark here made a video. It's a father-son video. And for our last meeting, I'd like you all to see it. And if we could, at some point, whoever does the audio, video stuff, if you could talk with Mark about that. It doesn't really, it will tie into Courage. I can make it tie into Courage. But just the story itself is really good. I think you'd really like to see it. Mark, is that okay? If everyone sees it, great. But let's jump into this now. Courage to go deeper. That's where we're at. Remember, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. Courage to find, facing and dealing, not withdrawing from the challenges that come your way. We just looked at God keeps His promises. God is with me. And these are some pretty important truths for us to cling to. I'm just reviewing, as you can tell, beware again of confusing the abundant life with the American dream. They are not the same. And then, hopefully, within the last hour, you have named an area you need to go through in your life and have entrusted it to God. And incidentally, I didn't just want to come up here and just have an information dump with you guys. I wanted to help you move forward, which is why I'm giving you specific things to do, applications. And so that tonight, you can say, yeah, I moved forward in my relationship with Christ. I didn't just gain a bunch of knowledge. He helped me move forward in my walk with Him. Courage to go deeper. Here's the question. What's the most important thing What's the most important thing? Jesus was asked that question. You remember? What's the most important thing? What did he say? What did Jesus say? David, what did he say?
Yeah.
And there's a second thing. The second most important thing is? Yeah. Yeah, now I heard a couple of things. So love one another or love your neighbor? Love your neighbor, right? Yeah. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. The greatest commandment is this. Love the Lord your God with everything you have, everything you are. And there's a second that's like it. Love your neighbor. Love God. Love your neighbor. I don't know if you can tell, but for me, I need to have simple little things I can carry with me. Like, God is with me, and He keeps His promises. Something that I can keep with me when I'm running through life, when I'm at the gym, when I'm rushing somewhere. I said, Mike, just remember, God is with you, and He keeps His promises. Okay. Well, this is probably just as big, if not bigger. The most important thing, the most important commandments, Jesus said. Love God, love others. Specifically, love your neighbor. So right now, we're going to talk about going deeper, loving God. The next session, we're going to talk about loving your neighbor. Then we'll be done. That's what I just referred to, going deeper, going beyond. So here's the question. What does it look like to courageously love God? To really be out there. To really move into and towards loving Him. Not shrinking back. Not withdrawing. We're going to look at this passage. And we'll spend most of our time here. In Luke 14, 26 to 33. So if you're following the Bible, you might want to grab one. I'll read it to you. So you don't, if you just want to listen, that's okay. Here we go. Luke 14, I think I'll start in 25. 25 to 33. We could go to 35. But large crowds were traveling with Jesus. That's page 818 in my Bible, if that's a help to you. No? Okay. And I have one of these handy little things here that kind of magnifies it. So, yeah. You want to try it? All right. Yeah. If you really like it, you could have it, Jeremiah. You bet. Verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, He said, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow Me cannot be My disciple." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he'll send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be My disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So here's Jesus going along with these large crowds, and He turns around and He says to them, "We're so glad everyone's here. We're getting more chairs set up for you. The ushers will help you. And we really want to make all of you happy. And if you could be happy, then things will be good." And then Yeah. That's not at all what he said, is it? It's not at all what he said. In fact, remember last night when I said hard passage? I can remember the first time I really read this. Hate? Father and mother? Hate? Wife? Children? Cannot be my disciple, as in there's no maybe there. Cannot. In fact, cannot be my disciple shows up in this passage three times. And those are the three things we're going to look at. Cannot be my disciple. Hate? I got totally confused. And this was definitely a time when I'm thinking, Psalm 23, please. Yeah. This is one of those instances where I worked on it for a few weeks on my own, and I couldn't get around it. Because I kept thinking, how does this make sense? Because Jesus said the most important thing is to love your neighbor. Surely family is included in neighbor. And also in John 13, 34, and 35, you're supposed to love one another. So this is looking like a little bit of a contradiction here. What are you supposed to do? Dear mom and dad, I hate you. Love Mike. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. So this was a time when finally I sat down with Dave, who ended up discipling me and meeting with me for 3 years at Illinois State. After Barry left, he introduced me to Dave. And Dave really gave his life to me. And his wife, the two of them did. I would say together they discipled me. And my wife as well. And I remember talking to Dave about this and said, okay, let's talk about it. Because I really wanted to follow Jesus. But like, hating your family started to sound like a cult. Like, let's go drink Kool-Aid somewhere. It made me nervous. And so he talked me through it. And what we studied, and he took me to the Greek and we did some studies. And what I saw is that the word hate is a term of comparison. And he told me something that I'm going to elaborate on a bit and tell you. I want to know, is there anyone here who's really a dog lover? You just kind of like dogs. You like dogs. What kind of dogs do you like? Okay, let's go with German Shepherds, okay? So let's say that one of you, how many dogs are in a litter of German Shepherds? Typically, 6 or 12 or what? Okay, this is a big litter, 8. Okay? So Jeremiah here brought 8 German Shepherd puppies here. And he said, one of you guys gets one for free. And we pick you. So Sean, you're going to leave here with a German Shepherd puppy. Isn't that great? Yeah. This is all pretend, Sean. I don't want you coming to me looking for a dog. So, Jeremiah brings his, we say, okay, bring the puppies in. So he brings them in, and here they all are. And they're all, 8 weeks old? It was about this big now. Fuzzy, real sharp teeth, like to chew on things. And we say, Sean, come up here and you get to pick your puppy. So he's up here, and he's kind of standing up. Eventually, what does he do? He gets down on his hands and knees, right? We're all trying to position ourselves to see. And so he sits, he's sitting there, and these puppies now, 3 of them over there just sleeping, okay? One of them, boy, he walked right over here and lifted his leg right on Bill. He wasn't very happy. We all had a good laugh. And then some around here, but you know, there's one of them. One of them comes up to Sean, wags his little tail, starts chewing on his finger, climbs up his chest, starts licking his ear, pulling at it. John kind of pushes him away. He won't be pushed away. He's just licking him. John's there petting him, and then he lays back like this and rubs his tummy. And then all of a sudden he's asleep. And so we've got to end this little show. So Jeremiah says, well, Sean, you need to pick one. And what Sean does is he says, I pick this one. I choose this one. And if we were in Jesus' day, or in the days of the Greek world that Jesus was living in, do you know what we would say? We say, "Ah, Sean, he loves this puppy. He hates the others." That's not really hating them. He's not saying, "Oh, I choose this one. Kill the rest." He doesn't do that. He just says, "I choose this one. I choose this one over all these others." That's what Jesus is talking about. It's not loving anyone any less. It's loving one more than all the others. It's not talking about slaughter. It's talking about exalting. What Jesus is saying here, you cannot be my disciple if you don't love me more than your spouse, than your wife, who would be your spouse, your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers or sisters. It is not a matter of loving these people less. It's a matter of loving Jesus more. Loving Jesus more than all the important people in your life. Putting Him and His desires above even theirs. I can remember when I was making some pretty big decisions. I think I was a year out of school. I was home for Christmas break. I decided to move to Macomb, Illinois. I had a job, a decent job, managing an accounting firm, accounting office, a little town there, and I was helping out with the nearby campus. And over Christmas, you know what happened? My mom cried every day. God bless her, and she passed away about 9 years ago. But she cried every day because I wasn't doing what she hoped I would do. And we got to stop this. Three sons, Peter, Tim, Dan, and Nancy's parents, they're farmers in Illinois. There we go. Because we'll get back to it. But I don't want to be too distracted here. And incidentally, we worked on it, didn't we, Dave? But the navigators, this is a navigator laptop, and they make it so it has to shut off after 10 minutes. So I know I'm 10 minutes into this. Yeah. My mom cried every day because she was so ashamed of me for not doing what she'd hoped I would do. And on I can remember one morning say, I'm just going to do what mom wants because I kind of do want her to be happy. You know, it's a cool thing about the Word of God. And I didn't know I was going to share this, although I think I should. So I got to see if I can find the verse. I had a quiet time where I just happened to be having a quiet time in 1 John 5, my last morning. And here's what I read in verse 2. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out His commands. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out what He wants. So I think the Holy Spirit said to me that day, "Mike, the best thing you can do to love your mom is to love me. That's the way to love her. Love me." And so as hard as it was, I said goodbye to her and hugged her and kissed her without succumbing to her desires. Because I believed, I was taking courage, that He was going to keep His promise, that He was with me, I could do what He wanted me to do. I said, "No, I'm going to go back, Mom." And I did not apply for those jobs. And I'm going to love God, and I sure love you. I put Him first. I loved Him more. That's what Jesus is talking about. And men, I want you to know He means this. And chances are, for some of you, there are some decisions or issues that you're considering. And you have a pretty strong sense that God wants you to do this. But there's someone in your family who really wants you to do this. I'm not filling in the blanks, okay? I just want to tell you, you got to love Him more. You need to do what He's asking you to do. I'm not saying go offend your parents. Go hurt your wife. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is follow Jesus and love Him more. Love Him more than others. A disciple, a follower of Jesus, loves Jesus more than other people. I tell you a funny story. Any of you heard of Awana? So I was a guest speaker at Awana once in San Antonio at my sister's church. And I mean, they had like 500 kids at this thing. And two of my sisters are there, and there's little Sparkies. And I was going to be the guest missionary. I made a huge mistake. I talked about this passage like the third graders. They did not hear me. I was trying to say the same thing I said to you. Love Jesus more than you love anyone else in your life. We got home, and my poor brother-in-law, boy, is the phone ringing. Little Billy says he's supposed to hate his parents. Who is this guy who came in? Oh. Yeah, they've never asked me back. Oh. Yeah. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. A follower of Jesus, if you want to courageously love God, which is what it's about, it's what you were made for. You were made for this. And I'm not talking just about singing Him love songs. I'm not talking about Jesus as my girlfriend type of stuff for you. I'm talking about being a man who says yes to the living God, the eternal God, the creator of the heavens, the beginning and the end. Do you know what He put you on this earth at this time? On purpose. He has work for you to do. Things for you to accomplish. And in order for you to do it, you need to love Him more than you love any other person. There, I've said it. It's interesting, though, it goes on. Because at the very end there, He says, yes, even His what? His own life. Hate your own life. You cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If you don't hate yourself, carry your cross, and follow Him, you can't be His follower. Wow. You know, over the years, people have interpreted this a lot of different ways. Some parts of the world, they actually walk around carrying crosses and beat themselves, literally, to kind of gain acceptance. You think He's talking about that? I don't think so at all. No. You know, you love Jesus more than others, and you love Him more than you. How many times in a day is there something that you, if you just kind of let it all go, you would go do this? But you know, because of God in you and you're following Him, you need to do this. I don't know about you, that happens to me every day. Because, you know, I wake up in the mornings and I'm not feeling like being very social. But there's my wife. And I love her. But she needs to hear that I love her. Death to Mike, who just would rather be alone. Love my wife. Because I follow Jesus. I do the courageous thing. Because I follow Him. I got one of these this summer. It's called an iPhone. You know what else it's called? Danger. I had no idea the things that can pop up on that screen. It's terrifying. And I tell you what, there's times I think, I don't know what that means, but I could click on it. And there it is. Whoa! Terrifying. Well, maybe I deserve a little sin break. Yeah, I've been pushing hard. I kind of need a vacation, a sin vacation. No one needs to know. I probably deserve a little sin break. Mike, you're a child of the living God. He has you here for a work. You have not come this far to walk down that path. Jesus, help me to hate myself right now and to love You. Help me to say no to sin and yes to You. I do not want to walk down that path, Lord. I'm going to love you more than I love myself. Some of you can probably relate to this. I was with someone last week who said 80% of all men have some sort of addiction to pornography. Well, that would mean a lot of you. I'm not condemning. I'm saying you did not come this far to walk down that path. It's much more accessible now than it was before. You did not come this far to walk down that path. My friends, you want to follow Him, but you cannot be His disciple. You will not be. You cannot be following Him if you're pandering to your own fleshly desires. It's just an impossibility. The tendrils of that vine will start wrapping themselves around your leg and pulling you down that abyss. You do not want that. I'm just telling you, you don't. Right now, you may even be trying to rationalize it. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. No, you don't. There's no joy in that. There's no satisfaction there. That's when you say to the Lord, Lord, right now, I don't feel like doing this. But you're in my life. I know you're with me. I know you keep your promises. I'm going to choose to obey you. And I'm just going to hate my own desires over there. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to pick up this cross. It's painful for me. But I'm going to just pick it up and follow you and walk away. I just want to pray for you right now. I wasn't planning just to take a minute to pray. Lord, I pray for every man in this room. All of us, including me. Lord, would you help us in the private areas of our lives to make choices to obey you? Father, would you help us to say no to sin and yes to you? Would you help us not to flirt with sin? And Lord, the enemy is there, not only wanting to accuse us, but wanting to drag us down. And Lord, I believe you have so much more in store for the men in this room than that. And Lord, we did not come this far to go down that path. Lord, help us to love you more than we love ourselves. And Father, help each man here, especially if anyone is really struggling with this. Would you help them to gather up the courage they need to wait on you and to do the things that you want them to do? And Father, if they need specific help, would you help them to have the courage to move towards someone who can give them actual, practical, tangible help? Lord, I pray that you'd help them to help each other. In Jesus' name, amen. So a follower of Jesus loves Jesus more than two things so far. More than others and more than self. Okay, let's have a quiz. What are two things that the follower of Jesus loves more? Loves Jesus more than? More than? Okay, that was so lame. Okay. Followers of Jesus love Jesus more than others and self. Okay. Now, this middle section of the passage here is talking about you better count the cost. Do you have what it's going to take to pay? To pay the price that it's going to cost you to follow. So here we go. One more time, he says. Rob, you taking off?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for being here, buddy.
Thanks,
all right, everyone say bye to Rob. Bye. All right, okay.
Bye. See you later, Rob.
Oh, you're walking up here. You're getting the guitar.
Everything.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well. Yeah. What did you say?
Stick with Elmo.
That's right. That's right. You know what? Pure grace. Yeah. Here we go. Verse 33, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. I remember reading this. Of course, I read it, you know, shortly after I read it. You know, and I'm thinking about all this. Give up everything you have? What is it? Wait a minute. If we really did that, this world would be filled with poor, naked Christians. What good would that do? Just give up everything you have. Oh, you're just going to walk all over the place. You want your music, too,
yeah,
huh?
I just want my note.
Okay, Rob, what else can we do for you? Yeah, you're all right. Yeah. Give up everything you have. Stuff. A follower of Jesus loves Jesus more than others, than self, and than his stuff. Other self and stuff. But what does this actually look like? As often happens when you study the scriptures, one passage, scripture interprets scripture, right? And one passage can help you understand another one. Well, for me, Luke 5 helped me understand Luke 14. Luke 5 is the story of the calling of Levi. Verse 27. After this, 5:27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in a tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it's not the healthy you need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, there's a pretty obvious question there. How can this one who left everything and followed him then give a great banquet at his house? That's one of those questions again. Kind of got to use your brain a little. And I got to lean into the Holy Spirit a little. How could this be? How could this be? How can he give up everything and then have a party in his house? So the cynic would say, see, there's another issue with the Bible. Just don't waste your time. No. But the follower of Jesus with eyes of faith says, there must be a way to understand this. Well, this is how I worked it through. I thought, okay. And I kind of pictured, this is later on as I studied it more, I think that Jesus and Levi knew each other by this time. I don't think Jesus was walking to a stranger. I think that because from John 1, we see Jesus meeting a number of different people who a year or so later, he asked to become his disciples. And then he asked them together in a group. It was a process. I think he had a relationship with them, with Levi in particular. And I think he walks to Levi's little office. His secretary says, Levi, Jesus, the one from Nazareth is here. And Levi's sitting there. He says, yeah, I'm ready. I've been expecting him. Let him in. He comes in. He says, Jesus. And I think what Jesus says is, Levi, you know what we've been talking about? Yeah. Are you ready? Are you going to come with me? Says, yeah, I'm going to come within. And he did walk away, I think, from his business. Shut it down. Said, I'm with you, Lord. And I think they walked out. And as they walked along, Levi said, Jesus, I just want you to know that everything I have is yours. Everything I own belongs to you. And anything you want to do with it, you can do with it. And I think Jesus said, oh, good. Yeah, well, that's right. You know what I'd like you to do with your stuff? I'd like you to have a party for me. And I want it to be a good one. Okay? Good food, good wine. Okay? And I want you to invite all your friends. So there has to be a lot of food. And all your kind of, not your synagogue friends, but your other friends. The questionable friends. As I want to hang out with them. I want to talk to those guys. I said, well, not sure what my wife will think about that. But okay. And so he throws a party for Jesus. So Jesus could meet his friends. It's the same way with you. I hope you've had a little walk with Jesus. And you've said to him, Jesus, I just want you to know, everything I have is yours. everything I have belongs to you. And if there's something special you want me to do with it, I will. Now, I had a roommate in college. Interestingly, his name was Gary. He was the brother of Barry, a friend of Larry and Carrie. And, which is weird but true. And Gary, and I'm still in touch with Gary. And, you know, Barry, his brother, he calls me once in a while just to see how I'm doing. Isn't that cool? He says, Mike, I'm just thinking of you. How you doing? He says, oh, where are you? I'm in Reno on a business trip, but I'm a little early, and you came to mind, so I'm calling. Isn't that cool? Yeah, so he's still kind of my Bible study leader. Still kind of the guy who's investing in me all these years later. It's really, really awesome. Well, Gary's his brother, and Gary, I don't think he'd mind if I told you this. When he was, before he was really following Christ, he would go to a record store, a vinyl store. Not silver things, but black things. And Gary had a little bit of a habit of buying one, but walking out with three or four. And I was his roommate, and I really liked listening to his music. But Gary kind of got serious about this. He said, you know, I have some things that I just shouldn't have. And when he said, Jesus, everything I have, you know, one thing Jesus said was, okay, there are some things you need to get rid of. So Gary, I'm so proud of him. You know, he got some money together and went to the owner of the record store who knew him. And he said, I was coming here for a long time and ripping you off. Now I'm following Jesus, and I just want to say I'm sorry. And here's money for the records I stole. It's very costly for him to do that. He's a college student. $500+. Which is a lot of money. It's a lot of extra records, extra albums disappearing. Then he came back and he says, Jesus wants me to throw them all away. And I'm thinking, throw them this way. Please. He didn't throw them my way. He said, no, I just need, this is not right. This is not right. It's standing in the way of my moving forward in my relationship with Christ. So he threw them away. Now I tell you that story that sometimes when you say, Jesus, here's everything I have. I'm going to love you more than my stuff. That means he has the freedom to go in and say, okay, we're getting rid of that and that. And the rest of it, you manage well for me. And I'll let you know when I need it. But you have to be listening to me. Because some of it I may want tomorrow. And some of it, I just want you to pass it on. At the right time, to your heirs or whoever. But just remember, it all still belongs to me. I had another friend. I'm sitting in his place, and something happens. The bottom drawer opens. I says, what is that? And it's this little stack of pornography. Oh, this is a guy. He's leading Bible studies. I said, well, what's the deal with that? He says, I keep that there so that I can practice withstanding temptation. I got one word for that, buddy, and that is stupid. Stupid. I'm not going to ask you how many times you win that little practice. He says, but don't you think you need to get rid of that? Do you think that honors Jesus happened there? Sitting right there in your bottom drawer? So we got it together, put plastic bags on it, together walked it out, and threw it away. Because a follower of Jesus does not need that hanging around. So for you, my friends, you're probably not don't have that type of stuff around, but I want to ask you, in all three of these areas, a follower of Jesus loves Jesus more than others, self, and stuff, and how you do it. I'd just like you to process with him, is there something in one of those areas that I need to make an adjustment in? Some stuff you need to get rid of, or some stuff you need to kind of sanctify and set in front of him? Is there something in your own life that's not stuff but has to do with you that you just need to get right in front of him? And is there some relationship that you need to order properly so that you're really free to love him? Because a follower of Jesus loves Jesus more than three things. What are they? More than others, self, and stuff. You can remember this, can't you? Okay, we're almost done here, but I'm going to do this again. Next time, use someone else's computer that doesn't do this. How's that? So we've talked through this passage, and there it is, loving God more than others, more than self, and more than stuff. Why is it right for you to love God this way? I'm going to zip through this. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again, or died and rose again on their behalf. Why is it right for you to love God this way? Consciously, specifically, not just loving Him theoretically, but actively loving Him. Because He died for you so that you could live for Him. That's why He did it. Not to give you fire insurance, not to just make you happy. He died for you so you could live for Him. He has work for you to do. And why? Because He loves you. He's worth it. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I've called you with loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:3. He loves me. Why is it right? Because He loves you. And, finally, He's your portion. He's what you get. You ever ask, well, what do I get? Well, you know what you get? You get Him. You get Him. Maybe you didn't get that raise, or that part of the inheritance, or that promotion, or that girl, or that dream, or that house, or that little pond by the house, or that, you know, maybe your stock's tanked. Well, what part do I get, God? Oh, you? Well, you get me. Ah. He is your portion. I quote Lamentations 3:24 every morning when I wake up. I started as a college student making an application. This was early on, when Gary and I were roommates, my second year of college. And we needed to make an application. I couldn't think of one. I thought, I'm going to quote this verse, because I just memorized it. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. So I quoted it. I said, I'm going to quote it in the morning, because the verse says morning, so I'm going to quote it in the morning. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. What I did on my little alarm clock, I put this little blue dot right next to the kind of the red thing glowing, so that when I woke up to turn it off, I'd see that dot. And the dot was to remind me to quote the verse. So for a week, I said, why was that dot? Oh, yeah. So I quote the verse, get my verse back out. Yeah. And then you know what happened? Funny thing happened. The dot didn't wear off. So the next week, I just kept quoting the verse. And then I did the next week. And then I did the next month. The dot finally wore off, but I had a habit going. And I quoted it the next year, and the next decade, and the next decade. And now I'm not really that old enough to be senile, but I kind of get senile about it. Because I wake up, I roll, it just comes. I just quote the verse, and I just added 24. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. It is an interesting, what do you say to you? We talk a lot about what God says to us and what we say to God. But this verse talks about what I say to me. What do you say to you? Do you say to you, the Lord is my portion? Read through the Psalms and you see how much of Psalms is about what I say to me and what you say to you. Pay attention to what you say to you. I hope you say to you what God says to you. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'll wait for Him. Why should you live this way? Because He died for you so that you could live for Him. Because He loves you this much. Because He is your portion. He's what you get. How can I love God this much? Now this, if you take notes on anything, this I'm going to tell you, this is what you're going to want to remember this. He has given you everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. See, I know how it is You can make some kind of decision about some area today, and then you know what happens? Tuesday morning happens. Yeah. Thursday afternoon happens. Next Saturday happens. How can you actually do this? This is the list that I think you want. He has given you everything you need to live the godly life you want. What has He given you? He's given you His Word. His Word, which is inspired by God. His Word, which can give you life right here. He's given you His Word. What else has He given you? He's given you His Holy Spirit. If you put your trust in Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, this is amazing, takes up residence in you and whispers truth to you, whispers warning to you, reminds you of what Jesus said, urges you forward, pulls you back, gives you insight. He has given you His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives you power. Maybe sometimes He'll give people power to do miraculous things, but you know what I think He gives you? He gives you power to obey. Power to love Jesus more than other self and stuff. We've talked about this. He's given you forgiveness. He's given you His Word, His Spirit, forgiveness. He's given you prayer, access to Him at any moment. Now you can ask Him, Lord, I need help. Help me. You know what He does? He helps you. Now you have to take it. You see His hand there. Lord, help me. I'm right here. Help me. Lord, help me. I don't want to see your hand. No, He's right there. Take His hand. He's there to help you. Each other. So then, Hebrews 3:13, let us encourage one another day after day, as long as it remains today. Encourage. To give courage. Let us give courage to each other day after day. I hope you do that. Have any of you ever been around someone who's kind of a courage sapper? They just kind of drain it from you. Have any of you ever done that? I've done that. I'm not proud of it. I don't want to be that way. Neither do you. Neither do you. Give each other courage. So who was out here talking on the couches late last night after I went to bed? Who was that? John, right? And what's your name? Sean. So John and Sean were talking, and you're talking about things that need to change. Maybe they will. I hope they do, because it seemed like you're into it, like God is talking to you about it. Well, you two need to give each other courage to do what He's talking to you about doing. Now, you could give excuses to each other. Oh, it's all right. What were we thinking? Don't give each other excuses. Don't give each other opportunities to fail. Give each other courage to move into what He's asking you to do. I don't even know the details, but I just know you're talking about stuff. He's giving you courage. You encourage each other. You give courage to each other. And finally, we don't talk about this very often. Angels. Are not they all ministering spirits sent out to render aid to the sake of the elect, for the sake of the elect? We have a spiritual reality, guys. There are angels. Evidently millions or billions of them. And they're sent out to render aid to the elect. That's you, David. They're sent out to render aid to you. And there are times... There are times when you've said, Lord, I'm going to need your help today. And then you start heading down some path and there's some angels. Not that way. Not that way. You're going that way. And you don't even know. So why did that light have to turn red? I was sent to turn it red. Because I'm there rendering aid to you. Yeah. Yeah. Why did I run out of gas? Well, I was sent to render aid to you and I did that. And we don't know. We don't know. But they are very real. And I would be surprised if there are not some angels in this room right now rendering aid for the sake of you. And you know what? On Tuesday morning, when you hit that Tuesday morning issue, I wouldn't suggest talking to them, okay? But there are probably angels there helping you.
rendering aid to you. You've got a lot of resources that can help you do what you need to do. You have His Word, His Spirit, forgiveness, prayer. You have each other. You have angels of the living God who are there helping you. How cool is that?
Well, this is what I'd like you to do. And I think you've been doing it already. Just take a moment. Think and pray through any adjustments you need to make in order to love Him the way He wants you to love Him. And process the help He's given you. And remember that He's with you and He keeps His promises.
And men, keep up your courage. I believe God is going to turn out just the way He said.
So I don't know. I'm not seeing a watch. I've kind of lost time. Or how much time do we have? Who's in charge here?
Behind.
Okay. So this is what I'd like you to do. Take 2 minutes. Okay? And think through this. And then do what? Go downstairs? Then David will make. So take 2 minutes right now. And God can talk to you in 2 minutes. And jot down or process. Identify. This is some adjustment I need to make. And then we'll do what's next. So thank you.